I'm just going to read three of Jimmy's poems. Jimmy had, of course, his own take on war. He ended up founding the Three Rivers Peace Project after he served in Vietnam. Fat Mac's bowling ball. Fat Mac told me that when he was supposed to go to Vietnam, he was ordered by the DI, drill instructor, to make a last will and testament. He said, "I was only a boy from Braddock, first time away from home, had nothing except my bowling ball. So I wrote, being of sound mind, I, Fat Mac, leave my one worldly possession to my mom, one black 16-pound bowling ball." I asked him, "Did you leave her the bowling ball bag, or shoes, or gloves?" He said, "All I had was a bowling ball." The DI thought I was being funny, so he comes over and punches me right in the gut. I buckled over, couldn't catch my breath, and I started to cry. I told him, "Sergeant, all I own is a bowling ball. Before I came into the service, I threw out all my comic books." The DI belly punched me again and said, "You're a funny man, fatso, and you're well shit pitiful, and I'm getting ready to squeeze the pus from your fat head." Fat Mac told me, "Glad I didn't get to go to Nam, because I probably would have been killed, and mostly because I like bowling, and my mom didn't." Then, with a serious look on his face, "The Army, be all that you can be." And I said, "It makes you aware of your worldly worth." He said, "Wish I still had them comic books. They'd be worth something, you know. Every time I think about it, my belly hurts. And I never went bowling ever again." Becoming a Man. I was reading Celine's book, Journey to the End of the Night, and I fell asleep, the book heavy on my chest. I woke half asleep at dark in the morning and was back 40 years ago in Bien Hao. I remember working the tower and looking over the fence line through my binoculars. I was in the tower for over too many hours, alone with too much time, silence and prayer and thought and masturbation. Nobody will tell you, but when you're alone with silence, you pray and sometimes play with yourself. I wasn't entirely my fault. It wasn't entirely my fault because I would look beyond the barbed wire at the Buddhist temple and see the bald-headed monks with long white and gold robes. They always walk slowly with their heads down, always, always with their heads down into a white temple. And I think they would go inside and pray. At least, that's what I believe the monks did when they went into the temple. But sometimes someone on Buddha Hill would shoot at us. I can still remember the sound of a whiz of a bullet and the crack of a rifle. I was glad that whoever was shooting was a bad aim, or maybe I wouldn't be writing this poem, but who knows? Anyway, it wasn't all that bad sitting for hours in the towers, all alone, because there was silence, except for the F-100s and the Cobras. That sound of the roar goes away, except inside your head, you will always hear the roar. Anyway, I'd sneak dirty magazines with me and hide them under the sandbags. Me and my relief knew where the magazines were hidden, and we never told anybody, because if the brass found out, they would surely court-martial you and send you away for dereliction of duty. They would probably accuse you of thumping yourself, but only a fool would admit to self-pounding. Now, as I said, it wasn't all my fault. The young girl in the rice paddy surely must share some of the blame. Every day she'd come out into the field and work there, and there was always a water buffalo and hot sun. It seemed like there was an endless green water all the way up to the Buddha Hill and White Temple, almost like a postcard, except for the barbed wire. It was picture perfect. I would watch the girl for hours. She had such beauty and grace. She had long silk black hair that hung down her back, touching the top of her ass cheeks. She would bend over all day. Hours led to hours picking rice. I watched her. Sometimes during the day, she would pull down her black silk pants and pee right into the green water. It was beautiful. And she was beautiful. I'd watched through the binoculars and thought, she is not my enemy. She's too everything. And if given a chance, I would fall in love with her. I'd even take her home with me when this stupid war was over, and I'd bet she'd love America. I'd watch till my eyes grew tired and continue to watch her pulling the rice under the all-day sun. She was beautiful. Sometimes she would take all of her clothes off and she would wash herself in the green water. She would pull her white blouse over her head, long skinny arms, and she was golden. Small breasts, skinny, long silk black hair. Then she would pull off her black pants and hang them on the back of the water buffalo. I'd watch as she raised her long, thin arms and wash her pits, and then she would wash her small breasts. She had skinny legs and a small patch of hair. She was so beautiful and earthy. I was so young, and even in war you can find love. Young boys in war think of girls and home, and they say apple pie. One day the colonel came riding up in his jeep. Everybody knew him because of his eagles and his white hair. I was afraid of him and didn't really like him. 10 months earlier, he had put me in jail because I drank too much Vietnamese beer. He let me sleep it sober, but he threatened to keep me in jail if he ever caught me drunk again. And he made me clean the shit house and fill sandbags. But he didn't take my one stripe. And I guess he could have if he wanted, but he probably felt sorry for me because I had pimples, but I'm not really sure why, and never will, because it's not like he'd ever tell me, and it's not like he'd even remember letting me keep my one stripe. Anyway, I slid down the 60-foot tower when he pulled up with his jeep. I cracked my best salute, because I knew colonels like to be saluted. But to tell you the truth, I thought it was a crock of shit, but I saluted anyway. I don't remember much about our conversation, except I didn't want him climbing up the tower. I figured he'd look around and find the dirty magazines, and of course there would be an inquiry. We made small talk, and I remember he remembered putting me in jail. I asked him just one question, and I remember it even after 40 years. I asked, "Colonel, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes, what's your question?" I asked, "Am I a man yet?" He winked and saluted as he drove away, smiled and shook his head. I returned the salute and climbed back up the tower, all proud, picked up my binoculars. I felt the weight on my chest of Celine's book and looked for the beautiful woman.
I should just add that Gloria, Jimmy's wife, wanted to be here, but because of the impending storm, she wanted to be around her 98-year-old mom tonight, who's going to be 99 in July. So she wanted to say hello and wish she was here. Square peg into a round hole, or a letter to God. Pounding a square peg into a round hole, smashing the peg
smashing, smashing the peg, pounding till it almost fits, or writing a love letter in the sand like an old Pat Boone song. That's exactly like trying to force a poem, like sitting on the pot, unable to shit. It's the same thing, and Buick was right. Don't try. Going back to 1969, Bien Hao, Vietnam, sitting at a card table with a soldier from the 1st Cav. He told me, we captured a gook and he didn't want to talk, so we tied him to the front of an APC and broke brush with him until he was dead. Broke every bone in his body, and then it didn't matter if he talked. We were just getting even for when they buried our soldiers up to their necks and let the two-step killers bite their necks. They put the snakes in the cage, taunting the snakes, taunting and taunting, till the snakes bit and killed our guys. I listened to the war stories over a beer, and then it hit me in the chest like a bullet fired from a sniper. I knew war was wrong. I hated the sound of madness, what the fires of hell turned us into. And there was nothing that I could do. We were no longer men. All wars are wrong. Men no longer can see, nor hear, nor feel. They can only taste the blood of anger. I folded my cards and left the table. I walked away sick. I looked up into the vast sky of war, wanting only God. I wish that I could put God into the chest of mankind like a sniper's bullet. I wish that I could make them kneel in thanks for the gift of life. I picked up the hammer and pounded the square peg and wrote a love letter in the sand to God. Up next, Chris Collins.